Good morning, everyone.
This is heavy.
Good. So we are wrapping up our series today called Animated, Life Lessons from Pixar and the Bible. Who's enjoyed this series, just out of curiosity? Good. 9 o'clock was not so generous. I'm so glad you've enjoyed this. And for those of you who have come and watched movies with us on Fridays before the weekend, we've had a great time. It's been a very, very fun thing. So I hope you've enjoyed this. It's been great for us as a preaching staff just to do something a little bit different and really kind of push ourselves in preparation and that kind of stuff. But I do think it's been really positive. We started out week one. Look at the movie Up. I think that was amazing. We looked at Inside Out. We looked at Monsters, Inc. last week. And today we're going to be looking at the movie Cars. And I've been wondering kind of all along the way, though, what is it about these movies that just resonate with people? It seems like from young to old, everybody seems to love these Pixar movies and seems to really kind of do something inside of them. And looking back in the movies we've watched, I think it's because when you watch Up and Carl Fredrickson, the main character of the movie, if you've ever watched Up in the first 10 minutes and you're not crying, you have no heart. But in that movie, that first 10 minutes, it does something to you because I think we've all known what it feels like to have some kind of loss and have to figure out kind of how to move forward from that loss. And when we watched Inside Out, you know, to have a group of emotions who come together to rescue this little girl, we all know what it's like to wrestle through emotions and find hope, hopefully, in the end of all of them. And even in Monsters, Inc., and you have a couple of goofy monsters who make a friendship with a young girl from a whole other world, something they're afraid of and scared of. I think we would admit that many of us, we've had things that we're afraid and scared of. And if we were to take a chance to get to know whatever it is or lean into that, we might find a great lesson that we would not have learned otherwise. These movies, I think, resonate with us because these movies are true. This is what life is like. This is how we all function. My freshman year of college, I went to a school called Taylor University. And at Taylor, our motto for the school was, "All truth is God's truth." All truth is God's truth. And the premise of that motto really has a lot to do with our theme verse for this series, and that is this, that all things on heaven and on earth, everything was created for Jesus and by Jesus, through him and for him. And if that's the case, then any place that you can find truth of some kind, guess what? It's Jesus's first. So all we've been doing in these 4 weeks is looking into different movies that have truth embedded within them and looking into the Bible, the truth that is there, and putting those two things together and saying, listen, we're going to claim this truth because it's Jesus's first, not Pixar's. And so we're trying to discover this stuff to let it transform and move within our lives. And so within Pixar, you have a world where animals, monsters, and even cars can have human qualities and characteristics. And so within the movie Cars, the one we're going to look at today, from the very beginning of the movie, we're introduced to a character named Lightning McQueen. And he is a young, hotshot, rookie car racer. He has his sights completely set on winning. There's no other option. It's what he's going to do is win. And he's focused on winning the Piston Cup Trophy. Because if he wins the Piston Cup Trophy, he'll get a sponsorship by Dynaco and get all of his wildest dreams. Helicopters, nice houses, on and on and on. And so from the first second of the movie, you get a chance to kind of see what he's like and what goes on in his mind and in his heart to see the kind of race car that he is. So check out this first clip from the movie Cars. All right, so as we're introduced to Lightning McQueen, it's not too hard to see that he is speed. That's all he thinks about. To the point where he didn't eat breakfast even that day. He's too busy for it. He is all about speed. He's all about achievement. He's all about goals. And so he eats, sleeps, he drinks speed and racing. And as he expresses in this opening clip, he only has two categories for people. Either you're a winner or you're a loser. And he has no intentions on being the latter. I mean, he's completely focused on winning at all costs. And to really appreciate the rest of this movie and to appreciate what happens within Lightning McQueen's life, you have to understand this first and foremost. This is all that he is about. At his very core, he's about achievement, he's about speed, he's about pace, and he's about getting things done. Now, you can tell from the beginning of the movie also, this is probably going to be his downfall. You know, his ambition, his drive, his determination, somehow or another, in the end, is going to get caught up to him, and it's going to be a problem. And I know this to be true too, and maybe you do in the room as well. Here's what I know from this movie and from my own experience is that speed kills. Speed kills. You ever ran down a hill before? And at first, everything's fine, one foot in front of the other, and you can handle it. But eventually, as you start keeping going down the hill, that feet get further and further apart until eventually you're rolling down the hill. And speed kills. And for a lot of us within our life, we know exactly what this feels like because it's a problem that we struggle with. Here's what I know. In my experience, the pedal to the metal lifestyle is not just a Lightning McQueen problem. It's a human problem. And it's a condition that I'm probably not the only person that struggles with it in this room. It's probably many who are sitting in these pews who has this condition as well. Whether it's for your career or status or popularity or education or bank accounts or relationships or even family, we get so laser focused on some of these things, and we will have a pace and a haste that is so unsustainable, but yet we continue. And I think sometimes you can feel that engine in your life kind of hit red multiple times as you have the things piling up and more and more and more and more and achieve and achieve and achieve and achieve and faster and faster. When you lay your head down on your pillow at night and the lights go out and you begin to kind of reflect on the day, you might begin to ask the question, can I keep this up? Can I keep this pace? Can I keep this speed? And I think this problem that we're talking about, that Lightning McQueen struggles with, is not just a personal problem. This is actually a spiritual problem. There's actually something much deeper than just being a life choice. It's a much deeper thing than that. And I think, I don't want to over-spiritualize Pixar's Cars, but I do think that within Lightning McQueen's life, there's probably something that is driving him so hard that's causing him to do these things and want to win this race at all costs. And the question in our life would be the same kind of thing. What drives us? What pushes us this hard? What keeps us in the fast lane? What keeps our foot on the gas? And a couple questions I'd ask you to see if you have a little bit of Lightning McQueen in you. The first one would be this: who gets your best at the end of the day, your career or your family? Who gets your best at the end of the day? Where does your money go? Is it spent wisely or is it just wasted? Do you have at least one day in your entire week where you get a chance to unplug and actually rest? Trevor Miller, do you have this? Are your choices driven by jealousy or any other kind of thing like that? These might be questions. As you answer these, you might find out, wow, there's a little more Lightning McQueen in me than I thought there was. You know, in the book of Romans, the writer is writing to a subgroup of people within Rome, and these are Christians, and that group is growing. But at that point in time, the culture was very strong, and they were outside of the culture. And the writer in Romans, as he's speaking to them that are existing within this certain culture, and I would say very similar to our culture, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2 says this, as the writer writes, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters," everybody, all y'all, "in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Here's the pattern of our world. It's faster and faster. It's speed after speed. It's pace and haste that is unsustainable. And in the careers that you live in the family that you maybe live in, and the place that you dwell, and the things that you do, and what you give yourself to, potentially you're conforming exactly to the culture around us, faster and faster, until it's unsustainable. And too often we crack. Don't fool yourself into believing that you have to keep your foot on the gas. And don't fool yourself into believing that you have to care whether you feel like you are being lapped and passed by those around you. As the writer reminds those living in Rome, and I believe he would say the same thing to us, and certainly he would say the same thing to Lightning McQueen, you are not what you do. And you are a Christian. You are outside of our culture. You should live differently. You should look differently. And if we don't look different, that's potentially a problem. I think this is an issue that doesn't just exist with Lightning McQueen. It doesn't just exist with those living in Rome. It's actually a problem that we exist with here within our culture as well and with our community. So in the beginning of this movie, we get to meet Lightning McQueen. We get to kind of see a little bit about who he is. And the Piston Cup race goes down. Now, Lightning is about to win the Piston Cup race, this rookie hotshot. He can't believe he's going to win the race, when all of a sudden, Chick Hicks, another race car, actually causes an accident and a huge pileup of all these people. The only three cars that get out actually are the King, Chick Hicks, and Lightning McQueen. At the very end of the race, it's a three-way tie. They can't determine who won, so they decide they're going to have another race in 1 week from then in California. So right away, Lightning McQueen and his Mack truck take off across the country to get to California. Of course, Lightning pushes him to drive all night so they can get there first. He falls asleep on the road, in which case his door opens in the back, and of course, Lightning McQueen rolls out asleep as well. He ends up not being able to find his Mack truck, ends up in a sleepy little town called Radiator Springs and causes some trouble. A chase ensues between he and the local cop there, and he causes a lot of damage to the roads within the city. Now, he's sentenced to stay there for a full week and have to replace and repair all of the roads that he ruined while he was there. He's got to pay for all the problems that he created himself in this particular part of the movie. Now, we find him now where he's hooked up to Bessie, and you'll find out who Bessie is here in a second. And he's hoping to finish this road so he can move on and finally get to the race in California. So check out this clip. Now, upon first watching this clip, you might feel the temptation to feel sorry for poor Lightning McQueen. So he can't make it to California. If he can't make it to California, he can't race. If he can't race, he can't win. If he can't win, no Dynaco sponsorship, no helicopter, no nice house, no pretty girl cars, and no famous kind of persona. But I think that instead of focusing on that, you have to see that he's having to pay for his mistakes that he made here in this town, and so he's stuck there. But by the end of the movie, you begin to see something emerge, and the question becomes, what is the greater cost for him? What cost him more? To actually be stuck in Radiator Springs for a week and having to spend time with people like Tomater, the redneck tow truck in the movie, or Sally Carrera, the town Porsche attorney who seems to always give him a hard time, or to be hooked up to Bessie and have to fix all the roads? What does that cost? Or would it cost him more to actually have made it to California to the Piston Cup, and to have reaped the rewards of his pedal-to-the-metal life? What would have cost him more? And I would argue that every minute that is spent in Radiator Springs for that week is time well spent, because it begins to transform him. His interaction with all the crazy locals that are there begin to transform him. His hard work that he has trying to fix the roads begins to transform him. I believe the worst thing that could have happened to Lightning McQueen would have been for him to actually make it to California and win the Piston Cup, instead of having this interruption and being stuck here for a while. Because if he would have done that and gone there and won from the very beginning, he probably would have maintained his unsustainable life and would have remained a very unlikable race car. So what costs him more? Does it cost him more to stay in Radiator Springs and do the hard work that's happening here and be transformed? Or would it have cost him more in the long run to actually make it and get everything he's ever wanted? You know, Romans really talks to us about this in chapter 12, verse 2, where it says this: don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think if we can pull out of the fast lane just for a little bit, if we can slow down and put the brakes on just for a little bit, we might begin to see that there is, yes, a cost to giving our life to Jesus and really letting him make the calls and call the shots. But is there actually a greater cost to that not happening? There's a cost to discipleship, but is there a greater cost to non-discipleship? As we give ourselves to Jesus and let him work in our lives, as uncomfortable and as difficult and as long as it may seem, we actually become a new person. I mean, you're still you, but you're like you 2.0. You're a better you. You become someone who really loves people well, who really has their priorities in order, who really wants to make a difference in the world, as opposed to the person who is only focused on getting the trophy, only focused on looking out for themselves. You know, Lightning McQueen's time here allows him to renew his mind. It says, no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Greek word here, renewal, means to have a change of heart or a change of life. It also means a completion of a process. The week that he spends in Radiator Springs is absolutely transforming for him. He begins to think about the world differently. He begins to think differently about himself. He begins to think differently about other people. He begins to think differently about what's valuable and what's not valuable, what's most important, what's unimportant. And it all takes place by his time there, which seems to be a great cost, but it potentially is an even lesser cost than what it would have taken if he never made it here. We within the church call this discipleship. People who recognize that Jesus needs to work in their life, and so they'll do whatever it takes to allow that to happen. People who begin to realize this, they take their foot off the gas. They make time for the discipleship. They make time for God to work in their life. They make space to meet with other people in small groups or Sunday schools. They don't just show up in the morning on Sunday because they happen to wake up early enough. They do it because they want to come here and be transformed by God. They spend time personally in scripture and in prayer, not because they want to check it off the box, but because that's discipleship. Here's the truth. If you really want to submit your life to Jesus and say, Jesus, you get to reign and rule in my life, it's going to cost you something. If you're no longer going to conform to the patterns of this world, it's going to cost you something. If your mind and your life are going to be changed, it's going to cost you something. But I would venture to guess the cost of that discipleship is going to be less than the cost of non-discipleship for you. What would happen if you were to continue on the way you are right now in your life with no change at all, God never working, and you end up one day 50 years down the road? What's the greater cost? I would say for some of us, the greater cost is to continue on the way we are, because we burn out, because we can't keep it up, because it's unsustainable, because we never really truly see our family the way God sees them. We don't truly see people the way God sees them. So what's the greater cost? You know, the process in Radiator Springs that takes place in Lightning McQueen's life, it takes all kinds of crazy turns. And he meets Tow Mater. He spends time with him tipping cows, which are actually tractors. It's a great scene. Couldn't show you, didn't have time. He also has multiple run-ins with Doc, who's Doc Hudson, the town judge, and also the doctor. And they develop kind of a rough relationship, but at one point in time, he comes to realize, Lightning does, that Doc was once an ex-racer himself and has 3 Piston Cup trophies in his garage that are collecting dust. And the thing is, he had a wreck at some point in time that he could never quite come back from and never got back into racing, is a little bit bitter about it. And he begins to hear the stories of all these folks living in Radiator Springs. Eventually, he goes on a nice drive with Sally Carrera, the person who he's falling in love with now, the car he's falling in love with now. And she teaches him a last lesson that was going to change the trajectory of his life forever. Check out this clip. She said, cars didn't drive on it to make great time. They drove on it to have a great time. It's a totally different kind of approach. You see, Lightning McQueen, to him, life is just something that gets in the way of getting to the prize at the end. Life is something that takes place that gets in the way of getting the trophy. Life is something that's a complete inconvenience. And this is how he sees the world. It's a certain worldview. It's a lens that he looks through at everything through. And as he begins to drive with her, he begins to see things he's never seen before. You know, waterfalls and the beautiful landscape. He begins to see things he's never seen because he's been going too fast to see it before. Foot on the gas in the fast lane. You see, Romans tells us about this as well. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, in view of God's great mercy, what the writer is trying to do is he's trying to change the lens for people. He's trying to change the view that they're seeing the whole world through. And I believe he'd want to change the view that we're seeing the whole world through as well, the lens that we see through, by saying, in view of God's great mercy, this is the new lens. When we have this kind of lens, this kind of view of the world, we realize that all of it is a gift. Everything is a gift given to us by God, by his great mercy. Not because we earned it, but because he wanted to give it to us. When we look at this life this way, through this kind of lens, through the lens of mercy, we right now, this is maybe never more important than what's happening right now within our world, because our world is at war with one another over silly things like political positions and the color of our skin and religious beliefs. These have become things that have pushed wedges between us over and over and over, and a list of many other things. But when we begin to look at the world through the lens of mercy, the way God wants us to, we begin to have different eyes for people. We begin to see people differently through the lens and the eyes of mercy. Through this lens, we begin to realize that we, first and foremost, have been rescued. We have been given salvation by a God who didn't have to, not because of what we've done. In fact, in spite of what we've done, he chose to rescue us anyway and show us mercy. And what this does then is this changes everything about the way we live our lives. In view of God's mercy, this would mean that whether I meet someone who has a badge and is wearing blue, or someone who has skin that's a darker shade than mine, or someone who's going to vote Democrat or Republican in November, or disagrees with me on my surrender to Jesus Christ, no matter who it is, I can have mercy because we, first and foremost, all of us are human beings who are loved by a merciful, loving God. And with that view for my life, it changes everything. For some of us, the question needs to be asked, what lens are you seeing the world through? What lens do you see the world through? Sally helps Lightning slow down enough from his fast-paced life, his fast-paced existence to see things he's never seen before. She teaches him to lean into life. She teaches him that the destination of where you end up is not near as important as the person that you become along the way. But it takes a different lens. It takes a lens of mercy to see this. And so this morning, I beg you to take your foot off the gas. Put your foot on the brake if you have to begin to see what's most important in life. To be able to look through the lens of mercy, to see the world anew. See God at work in your life right here, right now, when maybe you've never seen it before. And this is what happens within Lightning's life through his time in Red Deer Springs. He finishes the road finally, and it's beautiful. He does a great job. Everyone's very excited. He grows to love each and every funky character within the town. He begins to spend time with them and really see them differently. Secretly, Doc actually makes a phone call and alerts everyone in the world to where he actually is. They come and find him. He's on the news. They take him back to California for the final race. Now, when he gets there, just between the three of them, this final race to determine who's going to win, clearly he's there still to win. He wants to win the Piston Cup. But he's clearly also a different Lightning McQueen than you meet in the very beginning of the movie. So as the race is going on, he takes the lead. He's going to win it going away when all of a sudden Chick Hicks does something drastic again, and we're going to see it take place here in this clip. So this Lightning McQueen is the same one at the beginning of the movie who fires his pit crew, gets rid of his crew chief, who feels like he can do it all on his own, doesn't need anybody. And at the very end, the people who help him finish the race are all the friends he met in Radiator Springs, and he stops inches short of the finish line, the thing he's been thinking about the entire movie, all that he's ever pointed himself towards, winning this trophy. He stops inches short to go back and help somebody. I mean, it's a telltale sign that Lightning McQueen has had a change of heart and a change of life, that he sees the world differently than he's ever seen it before. What's most amazing is when he goes back to help the king across the finish line, it's self-sacrifice. It looks a lot like Jesus, who came alongside of us when we couldn't finish the race and helped us across. It looks like humility. And as you watch this take place, it feels so right, doesn't it? When I watch the movie, like I get to the end, I don't even care that he didn't win the Piston Cup. Because it seems like whatever's just taken place here, him going to help this other car, whatever's taken place here is of way more value than any kind of trophy he could have ever gotten. Because he's a changed person. Something has happened within his life. You know, a telltale sign of a follower of Jesus is someone who values people over themselves. Romans 12:3 says it this way, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. You know, here's the accurate view of who you are. You are amazing. You're full of divine worth. But guess what? So is every other person in this room. So every other person in our community, around this world, that's the way God views them. That's the way we should view them. And the only way this takes place is by taking our foot off the gas, by slowing down enough to let God work in our life, to really disciple us into the kind of people he wants us to be so we can truly see people, really get to know people, really share our story, and to value them above anything else. There's a couple in my small group who are amazing, are part of our church, and they were recently trying to really simplify their life, really based on the things we're talking about today, really trying to simplify their life. And they were trying to get finances under control and all kinds of different changes. They were thinking about selling the house, and they were thinking about selling the house and buying a house on the lake and trying to kind of like get this one dream they'd always kind of hoped of. And so the husband was talking to his son about it and was sharing kind of the thoughts like, hey, how would you think about selling this house and us buying a house or getting a house on the lake? What would you think about that? And the kid, without even a skip and a beat, looked at his dad without a hesitation at all and said, if we do that, does that mean you and mom have to work more? And for this dad, he realized within a split second, you know, what's most important? And he said, no, we're not going to do that. That's not going to be where we put our value, where we put our priority. You see, when we are people who really put our faith and our hope and our trust in Jesus, we really submit to his rule and his reign, we begin to realize the thing that Lightning McQueen learned in this movie, that we are better together. We're better together than we are apart. And in this church, we are better together when we work with one another. We're better together in this community when we work with one another and love one another well. And we're better in this world when we begin to realize that we are better together and not separate and apart. And this only takes place by people who have surrendered themselves to Jesus fully. and become the people that he wants them to become and finish this process. You know, Lightning McQueen, he realized he's most successful when he's surrounded by people who've been a part of his transformation process. The Sunday schools, the small groups that exist within this church, man, you can't trade them for anything. Sharing stories with one another, getting to know each other. This is a big church, but it can also be a very small church by investing in the lives of people around you. I'd encourage you, if you're too busy to do that, you need to slow down and invest in discipleship and invest in God's work in your life. It'll cost you something, but it'll cost you far less than what it might cost you later on down the road. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity and this moment for us to slow down and to be able to focus on you, God. I thank you for every person that's in this room. I pray that you would challenge us, God, to see one another, truly see one another. Help us to truly see you, God, at work in our lives, that we might submit fully to your rule and your reign in our life, God. We pray that as this takes place in our life, God, you'd help us to change our community. You'd help us to eventually, God, change the world. We believe, Jesus, you are the answer. You are the one thing that can rescue us. So, Father, as we put our faith and our hope in you, may it translate into those around us. Lord, we love you. And so in your name we pray. Amen.